broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for November the 16th in the year of our Lord, 2023. This is our one of two, the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Folks, there's so much going on in the news. It is just hard to handle it all. Now, yesterday, we had on James Edwards' first hour, the politicalcesspool.org, doing a phenomenal job. We talked about the New York governor, absolutely out of control, says she's watching your social media channels. If you live in New York, you have to soon watch what you say, because Kathy Hochul, the governor, is watching to make sure no one feels insulted by what you say. Yeah, the governor of the Empire State announced that, quote, in response to a rise in hate crimes and instances of harassment, the state of New York will increase, quote, staffing to the FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force. Governor Hochul has directed an additional $2.5 million to the New York State Police to deploy what they call 10 additional investigators in New York City, Albany, Buffalo, and Rochester, ensuring the state police has a, quote, presence in all investigative groups and areas relating to this hate online stuff. Now, this is insane. They say we need to make sure New Yorkers are protected from domestic and international threats. But the problem with her efforts is she has no authority to spend that kind of money. Where's the legislative efforts? Where's the law? She doesn't make the law. The problem with this is now you're getting harassment from the state of New York. Because at what point will it just be New Yorkers with inside the New York jurisdiction versus what point will it be, well, this was read in New York. This was distributed across state lines via the internet to New York. Folks, this is a slippery slope like you would not believe. And if it wasn't just New York, all government agencies are on the offensive, literally declaring a virtual war on we the people. If they disagree with what you say, it is a terrorist act, a domestic threat. Okay? They're lying to you. This has got to stop. In fact, it's so bad in New York that a man in New York City got charged. Yeah, here's what happened. The man tried to stop another homeless man from attacking and robbing a woman on a subway. Well, the attacker didn't get in trouble. The guy trying to stop the attacker got in trouble. What is happening around here? Even it's so bad now, lawbreaking in America. A California sheriff is speaking out boldly saying, hey, I tried to block shoplifters from stealing, and Target blocked us. So we found out people were stealing at Target. We went there as law enforcement to try to take care of it, and Target blocked us. You don't believe me? Go check out the Epoch Times. It is insane. We do have a little bit of good news on the front, though. And this person's name is Havi Rassinen, I think it is. Acquitted, finally, over, quote, hate speech for sharing a Bible verse. So this person shared a Bible verse, got sued for hate speech, and finally won as acquitted. But I mentioned to you, this was just a defensive effort. When you're acquitted, it doesn't mean you won. It just means they didn't prosecute you for hate speech. No hate speech. But what about the repercussions? What about defending yourself? What about the time, the money, the harassment? It continues to go on. Now, there's a shame on Steve Scalise, in my opinion, ladies and gentlemen. Steve Scalise, we must, quote, federally mandate voter identification laws in the United States. Shame on you. I get that you feel like it's a crisis, Steve, and you're right about the crisis part. But what you're wrong about is that the general government has that kind of authority over elections. Elections are state and local issues. If you don't believe me, think about what a precinct is, Steve. States are in charge of elections, not the general government. That's why each state must certify elections. That's why eventually Congress certifies the elections. There is a plan, a process here, a check and balance here, and having the federal government just take over control of anything that's wrong is the Hegelian dialectic, dishonest, communist disaster, Steve. And you're falling into that trap, buddy. I don't mean to attack you. I mean to highlight principle. Don't go down that road because it's based on flawed logic. Anyway, we have great news as well. There was a truck driver driving down the road. He saw a choking woman parked at the side of the road, and she put up her hands and showed the universal choking sign. He literally pulled over quickly, saved her life. Here's the cool part. He then says, "Don't call me a hero. Her angels and my angels got together, and it worked out." Not even taking credit for his heroic act. What a real example of service and love and kindness. Now, our guest today, or co-host, if you will, is Eldon Stahl, well-known regional director for the John Birch Society. Welcome to the show, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. You're on the radio.
Oh, great to be here.
All right. There's an interesting company in South Carolina. They're an extermination company, you know, a pest control company, and they have a question for you. They want to pay you $2,500, Eldon, if you let exterminators release 100 roaches in your house and they want to watch what happens. Are you in?
No.
That's what I said. That's what James said. Absolutely not. Have you lost your mind? Who wants all the 100 roaches in your house to watch what would happen? To me, it means the house could... Look, those things are diseased, man. This is dangerous. I don't even know why you would propose something like that, but they want to see what's going to happen and all that. Now, if you give me enough to go ahead and abandon the house or destroy the house afterwards, I might do something. But the idea is just insane. I thought I'd bring that to your attention. Anyway, then yesterday, second hour, I interviewed Ken Cromar from prison. You know Ken, right, Eldon?
Ken, maybe not.
Ken Cromar, he's the guy that lost his house to the IRS, and a 75-man SWAT team went to his house and attacked him. To learn more, go to miraclesandgodwetrust.com. He's a Utah citizen right here in Utah County. The sheriff should have defended him.
Yeah.
But the fact is they want to jail us all. Anyway, we talked about that. We also talked about Glenn Beck Wright's letter to Israel trying to be a dual citizen. I have a problem with that whole scenario, Eldon. What about you?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the dual citizenship type of a thing. Although, of course, some countries recognize that, but you know, that's up to them.
The main reason I have a problem with it is it comes down to allegiance. You know, what happens when Israel has a view or the American people have a view and they're different? For example, in America, you have the right to keep and bear arms, and that right shall not be infringed. It's codified in the Constitution, in the Bill of Rights, God-given Second Amendment rights of self-defense. Governments just put on notice that they need to obey that God-given right because we look to God. Israel has no such rule. Yeah, you can get guns with special government permission and everything else, but it's not even close to the same. So if you have dual allegiance, which do you believe in? And if you believe in our Second Amendment, you don't believe in the Israel plan. If you believe in the Israel plan, you don't believe in our plan. See, the problem is jurisdiction. The problem is allegiance, Eldon.
Yeah, definitely. That's why, of course, you can't really be, we have the natural born citizenship type of a thing with the president. You have to be not holding allegiance to another country, and your parents can't hold allegiance to another country. So there's concerns there.
Yeah. Anyway, there you have it. I thought that was kind of interesting to say the least. I just find it strange. Now there's another big battle going on about the Jews, and I don't really like to talk much about the Jews because, again, you know what? We disagree with the Jews. We believe Christ came. They don't believe Christ came. They believe we're deceived. But you know what? Glenn Beck asks why the Jews are so hated, and he gives all these reasons. And I believe I agree. It's a question that demands an answer. But his reasons, he says, so why are Jews so historically hated? And he goes into all these different five views that I disagree with. He talks about it's because they're successful. It's because they're this and that and that and the other. I don't agree with that. First off, I don't hate the Jews. I believe they're wrong on Christ. They believe he didn't come. I believe he did, and they missed the mark. But we can agree to disagree on that. We don't have to fight about that. A lot of people say, well, Jews rule the world and control the world financially. I believe to some degree they do.
No.
They do. There's leadership that are Jews that own a lot of things. But that's just friends and family working together on something. That's not a racial thing. In fact, are Jews even a race? I guess if you believe in the 12 tribes of Judah, they're one of the tribes. It's a religious view. But I don't hate the Jews. Do you do, Eldon?
No, why would you hate the Jews?
Amen.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then, the more they use the lie, the more they reproduce the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Now look, the media is a lie multiplier. And this multiplication gives more evil spiritual power to the beast. That power protects the cells of the beast from prosecution. Why isn't Hillary in prison? She is protected. We must restore our national relationship with God. Truth is sacred in the kingdom, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Isaiah 9:6.
A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Yeah, Kelly's not going to be able to.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. You got Sam Bushman. You got Eldon Stahl. You got Brian Rust, rustquittinggift.com. Kelly's not going to be with us today, huh, Brian?
It left a message that he couldn't make it today.
What's he off doing, spending all of his gold and silver and platinum and palladium and everything?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, good. Somebody's got to be spending money because the economy is suffering, Brian.
Yeah, there you go. No doubt about it.
All right. Where's gold sitting, Brian?
Gold's sitting at around 1990.
That's up, huh?
That's up, yep.
1990. Silver?
2405.
Again, up quite a bit. That's that's good news in my opinion, Brian.
Yeah, we're on the yo-yo up. See, the yo-yo down, the yo-yo up. It's kind of the yo-yo game. It kind of up and down, up and down.
Hey, man, what do you say to that, Eldon? Gold and silver are up a little bit. That means the dollar's down, right?
Well, I guess. So I guess it depends on whether you want to hold your assets in dollars or gold or silver or dollars.
I want to hold my asset in this principle called equity, Brian.
Yeah, I want to hold gold. Japan, all the people in Japan have been buying up gold heavily. So that's a big mark. Your central banks continue to, metric tons, 337 metric tons of gold this last third quarter. You know, it's the second largest quarter on record. So why are they
on a gold buying bender, Brian?
Yeah.
Why would they be doing that?
That's right. Why are these central banks buying gold? What are they – telling us one thing but doing something else?
Yeah, that's pretty much the problem. But you know what? Even the banks, though, let's be clear, even the banks can't escape dishonest fiat money, ladies and gentlemen. Headline says Citigroup, that's a massive bank, Citigroup begins massive layoffs. We'll begin cutting employees ASAP, says the headline, Brian.
Yeah, they got to let go of some of the people so they can spend the money on gold. So they're replacing gold with individuals.
What do you think of that, Eldon? We can't keep the people needing the money to free up to buy some gold. But yet, don't buy gold. That's a fool man's game. That's some whacked out conspiracy theory, extreme psychotic Christian male, I don't know, whatever. Money denier or something like that, you know, but yet they're doing the same deal. What gives?
When push comes to shove, push the employees off the boat and buy some gold.
There you go.
Yeah, I will say this, though. The gold's heavier than the people. If you're on a boat, it's going to sink, baby. Just saying. All right, listen.
You better...
Speaking of people, Brian, I really got this interesting story that I want to bounce off you and Eldon and discuss this in detail because, man, this is crazy. So not only are people losing their jobs left and right in this, quote, what do they call this thing? Bidenomics? Anyway, here's the headline. Millionaires. See, when I was a kid, Brian, when you said millionaire, you were like, wow. That person has made it, baby. I mean, you're a millionaire. You are set for life. And in the olden days, that was true. Now that you know that our finance reality check based on the fiat dollar, look, it's lost 97% of its value. So the simple way to state it is about 35 times loss or decrease in value. So what used to buy something buys 35 times less now. Proof in the pudding, take a current fiat dollar, takes $35 to buy a Silver Eagle silver dollar, which used to be a dollar. All right? So it takes $35 to buy a dollar of yesteryear. That's how much wealth we've lost. So a millionaire back in the day was like, you've made it. You'd have to be a 35 millionaire or 35 million in your, quote, I don't know what you want to call it, in the asset column, your wherewithal, okay, to equal the same thing. So here's the headline. Millionaires feel like they're just middle class these days. Only 8% of those with at least $1 million consider themselves wealthy at all, the headline says. And then it goes on. We'll talk about the survey, but your comments on that first, Brian, isn't that fascinating? Millionaires are only middle class now.
That's right. Well, you've lost that where's your bottom dollar? I mean, if it's in paper and so on, and that's starting to crumble, or your buying power, or whatever your investments are. I mean, that, you know, basically a millionaire is not a big deal anymore. You know, you're average basically, right? It's now it's the multi-billionaires or trillionaires. I mean, you look at the amount of money that we're spending on athletes and so on, hundreds of millions of dollars to secure this athlete, or a coach gets fired, but they pay him out in $72 million. I mean, it's crazy. So it's, yeah, easy
well,
come, easy go.
Well, you're a millionaire, right, Ryan?
Yeah, I've got a million pennies. I've got a million, yeah, I'm close to a million nickels, I guess, or, well, I don't
yeah.
know. Probably not.
Don't
nickels,
you have one of them
pennies.
Zimbabwe notes, Brian?
Oh, yeah, hey, I do. I've got I've got some of those.
You're a trillionaire.
Yeah, darn it. I forgot.
but look, a millionaire is not too hard to achieve, though, and I'll give you an example. I bought my house in 2002 for $150,000. I thought it was a little high at the time, but I bought it anyway, and $150,000. Now my house is worth $500,000. So when you kind of start to put that together and a 401k together and, you know, a lot of basic things that people, you know, generally have that they built up a little bit over time, a lot of people are a millionaire. I'm probably close to a millionaire.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that I have any free money available, though, anymore, Eldon. That just means I got, you know, some assets that have supposedly appreciated in value to extreme numbers. But that doesn't mean anything because my income doesn't match that. My day-to-day expenditures and my lifestyle doesn't match any of that at all, Eldon.
Yeah, it's there's a book I read the other day, The Millionaire Next Door, and it's a really good book. But, yeah, part of the formula with that is that $1 million doesn't really go as far as it used to. And so there are more people that have $1 million in net assets, but they don't have nearly what you think they would have. So it's being a millionaire isn't what it used to be, I guess.
Well, just imagine my house goes back to what it was worth when I bought it. Just in other words, it goes back down to reality. Instantly, I'm not a millionaire anymore, Brian.
Well, that's it. Plus your, you know, a lot of that $1 million is in assets, perhaps not available to use as
all of it is. Besides my paycheck and a little bit of savings for a rainy day fund, all of it is, Brian. That's my point.
Correct. That's it. You know, and so people, yeah, we have it on paper. We can write it down on paper, just like, you know, I mean, it's the Fed. How they're multi-billionaires in debt or $1 trillion in debt. So. But yet they continue to spend when they don't have it. So that's, I think, the big issue that we don't like is the fact of the troubling that's happening around us because there's money coming in. Well, is it debt because of illegal trading by these big banks? Is it, what is this money coming in? So you feel you can spend it? Well, yeah, we don't have it available, and that's the issue.
Well, and if I'm a millionaire, you know, I'm supposed to get surgery coming up. If I'm a millionaire, I'm supposed to pay $4,000 for my deductible. And I'm struggling to figure out how I'm going to get that deductible money. And then all the other costs to get there for the surgery, I got to fly to Denver and it's going to cost me thousands of dollars that I don't just really have, you know, like available to me, really. I'm just super, what do you call it, man? I'm a rich dad and a poor dad. They, you know, used to be one or the other in a book. I'm both, Brian.
That's right.
I can tell you that the first people to congratulate you on being a millionaire is the assessor's office.
Oh,
ouch. Yeah. And then they'll raise my taxes to where I'm a millionaire, but I can't even afford my taxes and my mortgage. How's that?
Yeah.
This is the
congratulations. We're going to tax you some more.
Here's the rest of the story on this. I find this fascinating. In the survey of more than 3,000 U.S. adults, nearly 600 were found to have $1 million or more in, quote, investable assets. Now, that's an interesting term, investable assets. But only 8% of those consider themselves wealthy. A majority of that, quote, millionaire group, 60% say they consider themselves to be upper to middle class at best. Now listen, another 31% say they're simply middle class. So 90%+ of them literally say, yeah, we're middle to upper class at best. Hang tight. This is Liberty Roundtable Live, RussQuettingGift.com.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry.
The Israel and Hamas war is now in its 40th day. The Israeli military has raided Gaza's main hospital and says it's a targeted operation against Hamas terrorists. The U.S. confirmed yesterday that Hamas uses hospitals and tunnels underneath to hide, hold hostages, and conduct war. The House on Tuesday passed stopgap legislation to keep the federal government operating past this weekend, sending the bill to the Senate yesterday. That chamber also passed the bill, and it now sits on the president's desk awaiting his John Hancock. West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin has expressed openness to a presidential run. The Democrat, who recently announced that he will not seek re-election in the Senate, told NBC News that his goal is to unite the political center of the country.
Every American should consider, if they're in a position to help save the country, I think we're on the wrong course. So I will do everything possible. Now, there's a lot of good people out there I hope I can motivate, and a lot of capable people, competent, that they've just given up. I said, don't give up. This is the best country in the world.
Comedian, actor, and TV product rep Kevin Hart is the recipient of the 25th Mark Twain Prize for American Humor. Hart will accept the award next year on March 24th in a ceremony at the Kennedy Center. The award is named for iconic novelist and humorist Samuel Clemens, a.k.a. Mark Twain. Previous winners also include Bill Murray, David Letterman, Will Ferrell, and Adam Sandler. A Missouri library is celebrating the return of its oldest ever overdue book, and thanks to its no-fine policy, the person returning it owes nothing. The St. Charles City County Library in St. Peter's claims that a Sandra Boyington book was checked out in 1993. Thanks for listening. It's well appreciated. We are USA News.
The inventor and CEO of MyPillow is always looking for ways to solve everyday problems. Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but then when you go to use it, it's not very absorbent? It's basically a towel that's leaving you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels. Towels that work. I know, it's mind-blowing. Towels that actually dry you. The six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors, and right now you can receive a six-piece set for only $39.98 with promo code USA. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the radio listener special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty, and they have a 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on the six-piece set of MyPillow towels, just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, and enter promo code USA or call 800-951-8175. That's MyPillow.com, promo code USA.
All right, back with you live. While Citigroup has massive layoffs starting now, millionaires feel like they're just middle class. 91% say they're middle to upper class at best. When asked what it means to be wealthy, all right, before we get to what they say, I want to talk to Brian and Eldon about this for a second. What do you think it means to be wealthy, Brian?
It used to be kind of God, family, country, but I don't know if country's part of my, you know, it's probably still a great country, just we got problems at the top. But I would say God,
right, though, wealthy is stability in all three of those, right?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
And to me, and I'm going to add my definition a little bit too, but let's hear Eldon's first.
A lot of times people think of it as really you have options. You have options of what you want to do with your time. You're not tied to do one thing or another thing with your time. But also, you know that you have security, that if the unexpected happens, that you're not worried about how you're going to provide for yourself or the people that you care about. And so, you know, some people, even if they're very what we would call wealthy, they continue to work because it's something that they very much enjoy. So they can dedicate their time and energies to something that they feel is most important.
Amen. So I agree with both your definitions. Basically, we're talking security. We're talking enough to have freedom in our choices of what we do with our time, whether it's make a living because we enjoy being in the workforce or enjoy exercising our talents in meaningful ways. We're not forced to do something we don't want to do just to make ends meet. When asked what it means to be wealthy, 85% of the, quote, millionaires said it meant feeling financially secure, with 66% noting that being wealthy means the ability to provide for myself and my family. Then 58% agreed that the term translates to the freedom to do what I want. Now, I look at that and I say those definitions match exactly what we've been saying. I want to add a couple of other parameters to this before we go on, because I really think this is critical. One of the ways that you know you're wealthy is if you can live daily and spend less than you bring in. Let me say that again for clarity. One of the ways you know you're wealthy is if you can live on less than you bring in. Okay? If your income is greater than your expenditures, you're pretty wealthy. Take a guy that only makes 20 grand a year, just for example. If he grows his own food, if he has his house paid off, if he doesn't have any expenditures, et cetera, and it only costs him $10,000 to live, but he brings in $20,000 every year, he's pretty wealthy. He's doing pretty good. He's free to do what he wants. He doesn't have a lot of worries. He's got the four fundamentals: shelter, food, fuel, clothing. He brings in more than he spends. He's happy. That's wealthy. The guy that brings in $100 million but spends $200 million is, hate the term, he broke. He hating it. He going down. Yep. Okay. Now, is this logical or am I kind of confused, Brian?
No, I think you're logical, because I think you're not you don't have somebody's thumb over you saying, okay, well, you're actually over, you're in major debt, and you have some, you know, you're going to need to pay the piper type thing. But yeah, you've got the freedoms. If you live within your means, you know, that was always a thing, that you'd live within your means. And my parents, that's kind of what they were teaching us and so on. And I hope that my kids and Sam and so on would live within our means, because we have the freedoms. We don't have, perhaps we're not tied, or our hands are tied to debt and so on. And I think that a lot, that's I think the biggest fear in our country today. There's a lot of people that are struggling because they're in major debt. And that fear is that I've got to go stand in a line maybe and get food, or maybe I can't afford my rent. This, where do I find the money to pay this? And so I think that's the, you know, are we free when we're doing that?
Amen. So liberty relates to, and happiness relates to wealth, in my opinion, because what is wealth? What is prosperity? Is it just money? And I say to you that it's not. It's people around you. It's love. It's family. It's support in many ways. It's all kind of things. But I find it fascinating. Here's what they say. Financial planning and investing, they say, was cited as the top reason that 80% of the millionaires say that's the reason for their relatively good fortune, followed by making a good income, 71%, living within my means, 69% say, it's living within our means. Now, I find that fascinating because it's all that we just talked about, but I want to add to this a little bit. To me, look, there's a lot of countries that don't have a lot of things, but the people are happier than they are in America. Money does not buy happiness. Relationships
Bingo.
Create happiness.
Yep.
Connection with God, family, and a sense of country and a sense of being provides happiness. It isn't money. Now, I understand you got to have enough money to eat and enough money. I mean, look, money has a factor. But there's a point where more money doesn't do you any good, doesn't make you any happier. A near 13% in a separate poll, or I guess they say 25, I'm sorry, the 13% is part of this other, you know, several different factors. But they say this, 25% of highly paid professionals, doctors, lawyers, et cetera, who make at least $175,000, actually consider themselves very poor. Think about that. 25% of those who make over $175,000 a year consider themselves very, very poor. You want me to tell you why? It's simple. They have massive student loans, buddy.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right.
So by the time you're a doctor, you got 250 grand in student loans. You got a house, 500 grand. You got, and so, yeah, you're making a lot of money every month or every year, whatever you want to say. But, man, you got massive debt. This is my point. Are you rich? I say you're not. Now, can you get rich over time if you're careful and patient and wise? Maybe so. But they say things are tight. Then they say, why are so many affluent people feeling under the pressure, feeling like they're not perched on one of the high social economic ladders? Why is that, Eldon?
Well, cash flow issues. They're not managing their funds well. Sometimes they have, like you say, relationship is part of it too. You know, you can be very, I guess, have a big income, but your, like we see with many celebrities, their personal life is a mess. So, you know, in that sense, they're not wealthy.
Brian, what do you say?
Well, it's you know, we live in the have it now mentality. So everybody, you know, even though we're in debt, we want to get in debt bigger because you know, I need it now. I got to have it right now. What's that? There's the song that goes, money doesn't make me happy, but it can buy me a truck or it can buy me a boat or what, you know.
So yeah, it can buy me a truck to pull it.
That's right. So we live in this, I got to have it now type mentality. And right now there's a lot of people struggling and wondering where, you know, the money's going to come from. But, I got my cell phone, I got my nails done, and they, you know, these wonderful, you know, I have money to do all these things I
got
to do because it makes me
you
look good or whatever,
done?
But yeah, my nails, see, the, yeah, that's what, I see these gals with these extended nails, and I can afford this, I can get my cell phone, all this, but I don't have money to pay my rent, and so, you know, we want it now kind of thing.
Yeah, expectations have certainly changed. It used to be this term called cash on the barrelhead, you know. People were like, hey, I don't want to owe anybody anything. Nowadays, people don't care about that. That's part of the problem. The other thing is there's a lot of things we pay for that they didn't have to back in the day. We got to pay for 2, 3, whatever cars. We got to make sure that we have an ice maker in our fridge. We got to make sure we have internet and a bunch of channels of TV to watch. And we got to make sure we can do our nails and our hair and our this and our that. And we got to go on vacations twice a year. Like, man, we're living the horrible life. And expectations is a big reality quotient to this. And that's why I say some of these countries that have less money and less, I mean, they don't travel. They probably never even left their island in many cases, but they're plenty happy. They say the reason for a lot of this, the factors are, quote, high inflation and interest rates, as well as what they call economic murkiness in general as being contributors to the problem. So murkiness, that's this feeling of being unsettled. And this goes back to the Constitution and the General Welfare Clause of the nation. Doesn't mean give everybody a check. That's not the kind of welfare we're talking about. What it means is stability in the marketplace. We'll talk about that with Brian Rust. We'll talk about that with Eldon Stahl. We'll do it in seconds because I want to talk about that stability in the marketplace. You can have that, but not with fake money. You can have it in your personal life if you get some gold and silver as a stability hedge. RustCoinAndGift.com in seconds on your radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So in my opinion, you'll never have that stability in the marketplace. You'll never have that general welfare plan of the founding fathers in place without honest money, Brian. General welfare means that I can count on things, that when I wake up tomorrow, I'm not going to have to load up my fiat money in a wheelbarrow to go get a bowl of rice or a loaf of bread or something. Stability in the marketplace means if I'm going to sell something in Alabama or New Jersey or Utah or anywhere, that, you know what, I can have a stable playing field to work from that I can count on day to day. That's what we're talking about, and that's one of the huge fundamental pieces missing right now, right?
That's exactly right. So I think building that nest egg I believe in the fact of preparation is peace of mind. So if we're prepared, you know, regardless of our country running on empty, we don't have to run on empty, and we can prepare ourselves. We can have some spendable money on the side, tradable money on the side. We can have fuel in a few gas tanks and some extra cans and food and all those things. We can prepare and have peace of mind so that, and for our friends and neighbors, loved ones, our family, make sure they're on the same, page, and we're preparing. And I think that really gives us hope and more stability.
All right. Did you get one of them Tesla pickup trucks there, Eldon?
No, I did not.
What the heck's wrong with you? Yeah, Ryan, did you get one?
I didn't. I noticed there were a lot of them sitting on the lot. No one wants them.
So, well, you want to know what, though? Nobody's getting the Tesla ones because they promised they'd release them. They started out in 2019 showing you how awesome the glass was as he, by mistake, shattered a window. It was a horrible look. And then 2 years later, it was supposed to be released. It never got done, and he blamed it on the COVID and everything else. Now they're finally ready to release them. So if you paid down some money, yours is coming soon. But there's a glitch. There's a fly in the ointment, and this is what I'm talking about when it comes to instability in the marketplace. If you buy a truck, now this is not a trick question, but it will be a trick on the trick will be on you in a second. But it's not a trick question, so just answer honestly, Brian. If you buy a truck, whose truck is it?
Well, I would hope it would be my truck.
Oh, whoa, imagine that. Brian buys a truck, and he wants it to be his truck. Eldon,
yeah.
Do you see anything wrong with that?
I don't know.
Not in the normal world we used to live in, ladies and gentlemen. That's the way it was. When you bought something, you owned it. Not now. No, sir. Mm-hmm. If you buy one of these here Tesla trucks, this just shows you that Tesla, this guy, Elon Musk acts like he's a freedom guy, but he's really not. Here's the proof in the pudding. If you try to flip your Tesla Cybertruck, watch out, ladies and gentlemen, because fine print in your contract indicates that Tesla might just flat out sue you or sue resellers for $50,000. I kid you not.
Wow.
Why? Well, he doesn't want you doing that, buddy. So it's not really your truck, Eldon. I mean, it kind of is, with strings.
Great. Yeah, that sounds like these deals that people say, well, you can use your private property, but the homeowners association is going to decide what you actually do with your private property.
Yeah, see, I don't know what flipping means. If I buy a car, I don't.
Well, usually it's you fix it up and resell it if it's fixing a house, something like that. But
yes, but a house I get a little bit only because of the contract in which you sign because you're you have a loan. There might be some anti-flipping rules based on the loan and the bank saying, if we're going to lend you the money, you can't sell it. I understand that. If you buy a house outright, I don't understand it. The market is the market. The free market says, if I buy it at this, if I fix it up and change curb appeal and do whatever I do and it's now worth that and somebody wants to give me that, it's proven that's what it's worth. It's not. I don't really like the flipping term. But suffice it to say, people buy and sell based on what the market will bear. But if I have a truck and I 4 years ago in 2019 put down a buck or whatever it cost to get one of these suckers, then I finally decide for whatever reason I don't want it and I want to buy it because I had my option on it, and then I want to sell it and make 10 or 15 grand. They're saying I can't do that with my own, quote, private property, Brian. And what will happen is the government will charge you yearly on your private property taxes, but yet Elon says it's his or that he has control over your private property. The government has lien on your private property, and so does Elon. Elon Musk,
wow,
or Tesla. And I kind of go, do we have private property anymore, Brian? This is what I mean by the general welfare. This impedes the free market, the general welfare, the stability of our economy like you wouldn't believe. Who the heck wants to buy one of those now? Not me.
Yeah, that's right. And buyer beware, I guess, because, what was it? There was somebody that had an issue with Tesla, and they kept calling and calling and calling, and that irritated them that they were still calling. Well, they just locked his car out. So he couldn't get in the trunk, couldn't drive it. It just sits there. It's a monument in his front yard, but he can't access it. And I guess that would be the same with these trucks. I guess if they don't like what you're doing, they just shut you down and you just sit on the side of the road and you can't drive it. You can't. You know, what was that you talked about? I think a school bus that went backwards because it just kind of shut
down.
Yeah, man,
it was in San Francisco and it just couldn't go up the hill there, buddy.
Yeah, out of control. I there was that interesting situation I know down in California where there was a lady that she told the story of her apartment. Her apartment was a really expensive apartment, you know, maybe upwards of $1 million for this apartment complex, and she lived in it and so on.
See,
well, the city came along. Yeah, well, and then the city came along and said, well, at night, you have to open up the hallways to, I know it's access to your apartments, all these apartments, but you have to open up the hallways where these homeless can sleep in your hallway at night. We have to get them off the streets. And so they were literally walking over homeless. This lady said, I was scared to death. And yet, apparently she owned that property, but maybe she didn't. Maybe the city decided it's different, huh?
Well, you know what? The World Economic Forum says you will owe nothing and you will be absolutely happy, Eldon.
Right.
All right, we'll get Eldon back.
That's a good saying, Sam. We'll owe nothing, but we'll be happy about it.
Yes, you're darn right. She'll be so happy it won't even be funny. See, you thought making money made you happy. No, sir. Now, if you try to flip your Cybertruck, watch out. You might get sued, and I just find that problematic. I also find it problematic that not only can the government lock down your vehicle at a moment's notice, so can the, quote, manufacturer, as if it's somehow their vehicle on loan. Last story, judge approves JP Morgan's $290 million settlement with nearly 200 Jeffrey Epstein victims. Now, I understand they approved the settlement. JP Morgan's happy. I guess the idea is J.P. Morgan helped Jeffrey Epstein with his finances so that he could go ahead and just abuse everybody on the planet. My problem with this, Brian, is we satisfied the money thing. J.P. Morgan paid. They're now off the hook. No admission of wrongdoing or anything else like that, whatever. The victims get some change. But at the end of the day, I go, who committed the crimes and who's going to prison? Answer, nobody.
Yeah. Yeah, we get back to that accountability we talked about here a couple weeks ago. I mean, where's the accountability? That seems to be a really big flaw in our country today, is there's just no accountability.
Anyway, it's just shocking. I don't know how to kind of handle it. What do you say to that, though, Eldon? Think about that. No accountability. You know what? They're going to pay $219 million or whatever it is, $290 million. They're going to go ahead and settle with these people, the victims, and JP, everybody kind of passed around a little bit of money. Nobody's going to prison for this criminal activity, though, that I can see.
Yeah, it's too often the case. People skirt accountability. They'll settle or plea bargain or something, you know.
There you have it. All right, the only thing I can say left before the end of the hour is thank you so much, my middle class millionaire friends.
Hey, thanks, Sam. God, family, and country. There we go.
Folks, look, the American dream is slipping away because of this lie, inflation, because of fiat money, because they have betrayed this general principle of the general welfare of America, stability in the economy, this reality of the free market, supply and demand, and everything else. They've tampered with so many aspects of this now. The only way to improve it is for government to start to back out of a lot of these things that they have created moral hazard in, Brian, and there's no other answer. In the meantime, you can't solve the problem nationally, individually, if you will, but you can take care of your family. You can get gold and silver as a hedge. Don't make it everything in your life. Make it part of your portfolio, but use it as a way. If you ever need to barter, that you've got the ability. If you ever need to have stability in your portfolio to do so, Brian Rust, RustCoinAndGift.com is the man that can help you. You have a friend in the honest money business. Brian, final word to you this hour, sir.
Well, I think you're right, Sam. I think people, you know, that peace of mind obviously is preparation. And I think there's a lot of ways we can prepare. We can unite our families and bring them together. And let's have a plan. And let's continue to call on God to help us through all these trials and tribulations that the world's experiencing. So you're doing a great job, Sam. Appreciate your voice.
And the last comment I want to make, and I want you to respond to this before we let you go, Brian. Listen, this is not a panic plan, ladies and gentlemen. I know the economy's in trouble and things seem dire, but don't fall for that either. All you got to do is get with Brian and get with somebody who can give you guidance and slowly, steadily, methodically, consistently put things in place. That's all we're advocating. We're not trying to sell by panic or make you paranoid or make you freak out. We're just trying to tell you we have an option, a solution, and steady, continual efforts. Those are the key. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, you'll look back and go, wow, you know what? It hasn't taken much out of my life to do this. It's just a little bit of planning, a little bit of redirecting of funds. And before you know it, it pays off in a big way. Do that with food. Do that with constitutional currency. Don't panic. Just be methodical. Just be consistent. Just work with somebody who knows how to help you. And that steady, consistent over time makes the huge difference. Brian, final word on that.
Amen, Sam. That was well said. That's exactly right.
All right, brother. We appreciate you and all that you do. Brian has all kinds of constitutional currency, and he recommends you put it in your hand. So he doesn't want to just have you spend money, and then he'll keep all the money for you in case something goes bad, you know? He wants you to take possession of the metals yourself. Because that's where, if you ever need it, you have it. You don't hope somebody else has it for you. And so take possession of the metals is our first advice. Second advice is to slowly but surely, methodically build wealth. RustCoinAndGift.com is here to help. And don't dip your toe in the crypto. That's going sideways left and right, ladies and gentlemen. But do get those incredible silver nickels, though. They're worth more than a nickel. I can promise you that. Thanks, Brian.
Hey, thanks, Sam. Appreciate you.
RustCoinAndGift.com doing a phenomenal job as well. We'll welcome Brian and Kelly back next week. Eldon Stahl with us this hour and next. We have an incredible, interesting guest coming up about election integrity, about stability in voter rolls and more. It'll be an incredible interview coming up in mere seconds. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. I am Sam Bushman. Donate liberally. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word. Share the love. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.
Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. I should say continues now because it's hour two of two. This is the broadcast for November the 16th in the year of our Lord, 2023. Our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, all in the supreme law of the land, the blueprint for liberty, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. As you know, we reject revolution. Unless it's a Jesus revolution, then we're in. Actually, we stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Last hour, we had Brian Rust with us, RustCreditGift.com. You have a friend in the honest money business. We've also got Eldon Stahl with me. Eldon Stahl is the field coordinator for the John Birch Society, JBS.org, also known well for the New American Magazine, TheNewAmerican.com. Great, one of my favorite magazines of all time. And we talked about honest money. We talked about Citigroup, massive layoffs starting right now. We talked about millionaires feel like they're just middle class now. We talked about, hey, if you buy an Elon Musk truck, a cyber truck, and you try to flip it, no, you might get sued. Elon says you can buy the truck, but you can't sell it for a period of time. That's part of the contract. Look out. So much for private property in America these days. We also talked about judge approves J.P. Morgan's $290 million settlement with the victims of Jeffrey Epstein. My question is, how come no one's going to jail over that? Accountability is what we need in America, ladies and gentlemen. Accountability everywhere. All right, we have a fantastic guest today. His name is Jay Valentine. And Jay is really a technical guy. And he works with a company called Fractal. Fractalweb.app is the website. And Fractal Web is a very interesting company that I believe has real solutions on the table in terms of identifying voter roll problems. Okay? This is interesting. Identifying problems in voter rolls with Fractal technology is the point. All right, now, I don't even know how to really break this down because it's very technical, but I think we can put it on the kitchen table for you to understand. So listen, there's voter rolls all across the country, and there's allegations that those voter rolls are not accurate. Now, those who say that believe they have evidence. Those who claim it's not true, it's all fine, don't worry. There might be blips, but they're minor. They double down and say that the guys who claim there's voter roll problems are full of conspiracy theories. I'm not here to debate either side. I have my opinions, and I'll be clear about them. My opinions is there's all kinds of voter roll problems. The debate isn't are there's voter roll problems. The debate is are they intentionally created or are they mistakes? And really, no matter what side of that aisle, what side of that discussion, whether you believe it or not, whether you, whatever camp you're in, doesn't matter. What does matter is there a way to know if there's voter roll problems? And is there a way to do what I call a no-blame autopsy? By the way, there's a big business book that talks about this called Extreme Ownership, where they talk about no-blame autopsies. And the idea is, I don't care who's at fault. We're not going to point fingers at anybody. We're simply going to look at the problem, say, does the problem exist? If it doesn't, great, move on. If it does exist, why? And most importantly, how do we fix it? Jay Valentine, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Good morning. How are you today?
We're doing excellent. Before we get started on this discussion about voter rolls and everything else, and the technology that you guys employ to make that happen, let's talk about who you are a little bit. Give me a thumbnail sketch of who Jay really is. Who are you, and how did you get in the technology world?
Well, we're the guys who built the eBay fraud detection engine. So when eBay was getting killed with auction fraud, they went to the Secret Service, they went to the Treasury Department, the FBI. Nobody could stop auction fraud because people would sell an item, they would never ship it, they'd collect the money, they would change all of their identifiers, so there was no way to track them down, and we invented a technology that could do that. So our technology was later used for the TSA no-fly list to keep terrorists off of airplanes. Our technologies were later used by the big insurance companies, State Farm, GEICO, USAA, to stop auto fraud rings. So a couple years ago, because we're known as people who do very, very advanced technology, stuff that's way ahead of the technology curve, we got brought in by Sheriff Clark in Milwaukee to look at the voter rolls. And now we have looked at the voter rolls of 26 states, and we have applied a new technology called fractal technology. And what we're doing is we are essentially doing autopsies, to use your word, of the state voter rolls. We're doing videos, and we're publishing on our website, Omega 4, the number 4 America, so people can actually see live how screwed up their voter rolls are.
Now, it gets into the weeds fast if we're not careful, and I want to avoid that because this is really an educational news show, not a technology show. But this fractal technology, you got to think of Web 1.0, 2.0, 3.0. Look, Web 1.0 was simply websites that you published that were static kind of thing. Then it got 2.0, 3.0. We got e-commerce. We got all kinds of videos and capabilities. And I'm being very simple on purpose here. But you got moving parts on the web. You got things that updated on the fly. You had all kinds of changes. This is like next-gen database technology that will eventually become the core of the new web, right?
We think it is. I mean, what people want to be able to do now is they want to be able to take any entity on the web, whether it's a video, whatever it might be. They want to be able to take any database that's out there, the entire Federal Election Commission database, a state voter roll, Medicaid roll, whatever it might be. And they want to make that data alive. And that's what Fractal enables. So in the voter space, for instance, we have the ability to take voter rolls like for Texas or Florida that have 10, 12, 15 million people on them, and you can search them at 200 million transactions per second from your telephone in your hand. And that's the type of technology that we're delivering, and it is making these government voter rolls that were once opaque, it's making them transparent, and people can't believe what they're finding.
Now, when you say what they're finding, basically using this technology in partnership with you guys, right?
Correct. So we work with state reps and state senators in a bunch of states. And what they do is they say to us, hey, guys, we want you to come in and we want you to show us how dirty are our voter rolls, whether it's fraud or whether it's just dirty data is immaterial. But
yeah, so I want to stop you there for a second because this is really important. I know you said it and it's true, but I want to make sure people really understand. We're using technology to solve problems. We're not interested in pointing blame. We're not interested in any of that. We're just simply saying, look, we can know if there's problems with your voter roll. And if there is, let's just go to work to fix it. That's all. That's all. And everybody should be able to set aside any, you know, hesitation or pointing fingers, or that's why I called it a no-blame autopsy. Because, look, we want to know the problem. Hey, we do have a problem. Now let's just go to work to fix it. That's all. It's not partisan. It's not, anyway, I don't mean to derail you, Jay, but I want to really make that point because that's the key, in my opinion, to moving forward in a productive way.
Yeah, that's just a really great point, and we completely agree with what you said. That's why we're publishing the video. So we put up Minnesota last week. We're putting up Kansas on Monday or Tuesday. We put up Texas 2 weeks ago. We're putting up Georgia the week after next. And when you see what you're going to see in Georgia, it's astounding. But what we're trying to do is show people that in every voter roll in America, you have tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands of people who are ostensibly registered to vote at a Walmart, at a convenience store, at a gas station. They don't have bedrooms. You can't live at those places. Yet these people are on the voter rolls, and some of them have been on the voter rolls for 40 years. And when people see that, they go to their legislators and they demand that these things get cleaned up.
Eldon Stahl is with me. Eldon, what do you think of this?
Well, that would be really good information to have because, you know, it seems like in state after state, the legislators will say something like, well, do you have any good evidence that something is wrong here, that we have a problem here? They tend to like to pretend that there's no problem and say, well, we our state, you know, might be happening in other states, but our state, it's just fine.
Well, we're having a lot of fun with that. So we have secretaries of state, Republican, Democrat, in state after state, and they say exactly what you said. Oh, yeah, there's nothing wrong with our voter roll. Well, maybe there isn't. How would anybody
and,
know?
And hold on, because let me stop you there, Jay, though. Maybe there isn't. And you know what? If there isn't, let's have third-party auditing fractal database, you know, run through. And if that's true, let's put a 5-star stability rating going. You can trust this. Go ahead and skip the break. You can trust this then. This is not a we're trying to attack everyone plan. If it's on the up and up and if it's good and stable and everything else, we want to champion that point to build confidence for the voters, right, Jay?
Exactly. And what we're showing in these videos is that there's dirty data in all of these voter rolls. It's been there for 20 and 30 years because the records show that. And secretaries of state don't see it because the kind of conventional technology they use doesn't allow them to be able to really deep clean voter rolls, thus the denial. But now that kind of technology is in the hands of individual citizens, and that's driving change in state after state.
My only question that I don't understand is if you don't have the technology to plumb this, but somebody says they have increased technology to really get this, why don't you, as a leader of a government, you, again, got elected by the people, remember that, why don't you say, I don't know, let's find out? Why are they in denial? Why they're calling us election deniers, and we're just saying, let's lay the truth out transparently. If they deny it without investigating, they're the deniers, Jay.
Well, that's what's happening, though. And no secretary of state wants to have somebody like us come in and show that there's 10,000 people living at an address that are Walmarts or convenience stores or gas stations, because as soon as we make that public, they look bad. Now, we went to them first. So we didn't say, we're going to pop this on you. We sent letters to every secretary of state and said, look, we will come in at no charge. We'll show you how dirty your voter rolls are so you can change them. Not one
hold on.
Responded.
I need you to
repeat
that phrase because that was so vital, Jay. Say that one more time.
So we sent letters to every secretary of state in America. We said we will come in at no charge.
No charge, people.
And we will show you how much dirty data you have in your data rolls. Not one secretary of state even responded to the letter. Not one. So now we're just going to publish state after state after state and let the citizens fix it.
Ladies and gentlemen, why wouldn't your elected officials, if they're given a chance, think about this like a company that's got a breach or a company that's got a bug in their software and it's got a gaping hole. What the real white hat people do in the IT world is they say, hey, company, in private, hey, company, you got a problem. Here's the problem. Why don't you go ahead and fix it? And if they don't, then it gets published that, hey, these guys, you know, got a problem. They're not willing to fix it. Okay. The same thing is true here. We're trying to simply say, clean this up. We're not trying to hand you a bad rap. We're not trying to lay it at your feet like you're the bad guy or you're the problem. We're just simply trying to fix something. Why wouldn't they reach out to fix this? This is beyond me to let this go to the public and then have this meltdown. Talk about eroding trust, Jay.
Well, it erodes trust. And the reason it does is because in every state in the United States right now, there are citizen groups running around with old technologies, but the technologies are good enough to find people voting from prisons to find people voting from convenience stores, et cetera, to find 18 people living in a 400 square foot house with one bedroom and one bath. And they knock on the door. They say, hey, who are these 18 people? Do they live here? And the guy who answers the door says, I don't know any of them. I mean, you see that every day. So what's happening is because these voter rolls are so dirty and individual citizens using very, very rudimentary tools can prove that, what's happening is people don't believe in elections anymore. And what we're saying is we can come in with fractal technology, and in less than a week, we can literally clean your voter rolls and show you where all this stuff is so you can take an effort to clean it up. I mean, in Kansas, we're publishing Kansas on Monday. When we ingested the data for the Kansas official voter rolls from their Secretary of State, 40,000 addresses were incorrect. That's before we started even looking at people there who were voting from homeless shelters for 10 years.
What about dead people? Mm. Because this is another kind of thing. What about dead people voting, or people in nursing homes voting and that they don't even know they voted or somebody voted for them? And all? How does that all relate to this?
Well, the concept of dead people voting is a really small number. In terms of a percentage, it's out there, but it's a very small percentage. The real area where your election roll voter fraud is happening is in two areas. First, it is happening where election commissions, like happened in Arizona, will literally change the voter rolls during early voting to favor a candidate. So the election commission in Arizona changed 33,000 zip codes during early voting. So these people got their mail, but they didn't get their ballots because the post office didn't change them. The election commission changed them. And so Carrie Lake didn't know that these people never got their ballots. She didn't know that. Somebody got those ballots, but weren't the right people. So that's the first thing. And that's invisible to current technology, but we pick it up. The second thing is you have all of these people out there. They may be real people, but they're voting from fake addresses. So the address may be real because it's a Walmart. The person may be real because he's a real person. But a combination of a real person voting from a Walmart is a fake voter. That's where your voter fraud is. And it doesn't occur with 10,000 people in one building. It occurs with 10,000 locations, each of which has 5 or 6 or 7 anomalous voters like that. So that's where it is. Now, when you get into the cognitive care facilities, it's even worse. So in Wisconsin, they were able to show that you have these people who all got their ballot on the same day. They all mailed in their ballot back on the same day. They all used the same phone number. And then when they went in and checked, they found out these people were in deep cognitive care. They didn't know who their children were. And it was a very sad situation. And it's illegal for people like that to vote because they have lost their cognitive capabilities. But that's going on in state after state after state. And very, very few people can see it. Well, we're making it visible to anybody from your phone.
So tell me how then from my phone I can deal with this then. How's the connection between the public and this technology and the use of it in a given state?
Sure. So you can log on. It depends on the government, state government laws in your particular state.
It depends on your jurisdiction, right?
It depends on your state. So some states, the voter rolls are very, very accessible to voters. So for instance, in Texas, what you can do in Texas with our system is you can literally log on from your phone. And the first thing you click on is show me every voter in Texas who's over 120 years old. That's one click. When you see that, you're going to find hundreds of voters who are hundreds, several cases, thousands of years old. The next click is, do they vote? Boom. Here's their voter history. The next click is, what is their address? And then when you click on the address, it will show you that it's a Walmart or a convenience store or whatever it might be. So from your phone, in 3 or 4 clicks, you have found how dirty the voter rolls are. And you can do that across hundreds of different queries using the system. And that's what we demonstrate on our website at Omega, the number 4, America. You can go on there and actually see us doing that.
I love it. That can be used real time as well, right?
It is real time. Everything we do is real time. So in our case, you can literally, from your phone, hover. You can hover over an address type. Let's say the address type is warehouse. when you hover with your mouse on your phone, you know, where you move it with your finger and you're hovering over something, it will show you that in this particular county, you've got 60 people living in warehouses. When you push down on it on your phone, it will show you who those 60 people are. And we're making this available, and we're not just doing it for voter rolls. We're doing it for the FEC contribution rolls. And we're finding people who have made 10,000 contributions of $2 a piece, and those were aggregated and sent to people all over the United States. It's a money laundering operation. And in about 3 weeks, we're going to start demonstrating that as well. And there are thousands of candidates and office holders all around the United States who have been receiving this illegal money for 30 years. And we're going to be showing it live starting in about 3 or 4 weeks. We've been working on it for 6 months. But this is a beautiful system. And we're demonstrating it right now to some legislators here in Texas.
Is Utah and Wyoming, are they interested and willing to play ball? That's where Eldon's in Wyoming, and I'm in Utah, is why I'm asking the general question, yeah.
Yeah, we haven't had any chat with Wyoming people, although Wyoming would be a great place to do it. But I was just in Utah last week. I met with a bunch of state reps and senators, state senators. And I was there for 4 days, 3 days, and I did a presentation out there. I've actually run Utah data. I showed people living in, you know, voting from hotels and voting from all these crazy locations at a conference out in Utah. But we're actually in conversation right now with legislators in Utah about doing an audit of the entire Utah voter roll, which we would have to get because unlike other states in Utah, they don't allow access to 2/3 of the voter roll. But if we get it from the government, we'll be able to do that, and we'll be able to show the legislators, at least, maybe the citizens, how much shenanigans stuff is in those voter rolls.
Is Phil Lyman one of the big helpers?
That would be very nice.
He is. I met with Phil. Phil's a great guy, and he's running for governor, and he's a very articulate gentleman, and we had a great call with Phil.
All right. Did you meet with the two red pills as well?
I don't recall the names of the other people that we met with. I mean, it was quite a large group, but I remember Phil.
No problem. There's two ladies that are the two red pills that are two of the people that are making the biggest difference in terms of challenging election integrity issues in Utah. Their nicknames are Two Red Pills, and I can help you get in touch with them. But they have great influence in Utah. I don't know if you know, but I work for a sheriff's group as well, and what we need to do is talk to sheriffs to see if they can help us as well with this, because this becomes a little bit of legislative, a little bit of accountability, a little bit of investigative all at the same time, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And some of the stuff we're showing, like people getting illegal campaign contributions, and we know they're illegal because we can show they go through a money laundering operation. And I actually presented that when I was in Utah last week. I showed some examples of that. I didn't show the illegal stuff. I just showed the stuff in general that's happening. But we can share that with sheriffs, and we are in Wisconsin sharing that with district attorneys. And in Wisconsin, they actually are taking criminal action against some office holders. Now, that's not going to be announced for a few more months because they're waiting till after all the filing dates are done. So these guys can't get out of the race. But, we've got some big things coming out in Wisconsin.
All right, I'm going to call you after the show, Jay, and work on this. I've got several sheriffs that are looking into integrity issues, and this might back them into a simple way to not get caught into conspiracy theory or whatever else. We're just like, hey, let's go ahead and make the voter rolls transparent. Let's run it through the engine and get the data back. This should be you've offered to do it virtually for free, right?
Well, we are doing it as long as we're doing it with legislators. Then what we will do is we come in and we do what's called a proof of concept. And I just did 26 of them for 26 states. Now, what proof of concept means is we work with legislators.
Now, hold on. When we get back from the break, I'm sorry. It's a hard break, and I can't blow this one off. Jay Valentine with us, ladies and gentlemen. Jay Valentine is a fraud expert. He speaks out against voter fraud. He's got solutions, ladies and gentlemen. Using fractalweb.app technology. Why we need real-time voter roll monitoring. We'll talk about all this a little more in seconds with Jay Valentine on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Corey Myers. The Israel and Hamas war now in its 40th day. The Israeli military has raided the Gaza Strip's main hospital and said it's a targeted operation against Hamas. The U.S. confirmed yesterday that Hamas uses hospitals and tunnels underneath them to hide and hold hostages. Not happy with the presidential field? Well, you're not alone.
Over half of American voters want additional candidates in the 2024 presidential race, with 52% expressing the preference, including 72% of independents and 58% of Democrats. That's according to a new Quinnipiac poll. However, 67% of Republicans are content with the existing candidate pool, featuring frontrunners Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis, and Nikki Haley. In a hypothetical matchup between Donald Trump and President Joe Biden, Trump leads with 48% support compared to Biden's 46%. The economy remains a primary concern for voters, closely followed by the preservation of democracy. I'm John Schaefer.
U.S. officials report that a drone, which an American warship intercepted, appears to have originated from Yemen. The USS Thomas Hudner engaged the drone, which was not its intended target. Reuters first reported the drone's downing. This marks the second interception by a U.S. Navy vessel in the area since October. A Wisconsin jury has found a woman guilty of poisoning another woman with eye drops.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Jesse R. Kurshevsky, guilty of first-degree intentional homicide.
Kurshevsky stole money from Lynn Hernan and later killed her to cover up the fraud. She denied involvement, Kurshevsky later claiming that Hernan wanted to die. This is USA News.
Hey, here's a question. After you wear your clothes, you toss them in the washing machine, right? Nobody wants to wear dirty clothes. So how do we don't throw your shoes in the washing machine when they get dirty? I mean, come on. Your shoes are touching the filthy ground all day long. Gross. But with Skechers, you can. Because most Skechers are machine washable. That's right. Skechers are specially made so you can toss them right in the washing machine and keep them clean and looking new. And when they look new, you can confidently wear them longer. That's less shoes you're going to want to throw away, which means less waste. And it'll save you tons of dough. I love that. Plus, machine washable Skechers are for the whole family, men, women, and kids. So when your kids get their shoes dirty, oh, and we know they will, just wash them. Brilliant! And even our latest technology, new hands-free Skechers slip-ins are washable. You just step right in and go without bending down or even touching your shoes. So give your Skechers the same treatment you give your clothes. Just toss them in the washing machine and keep them looking brand spanking new. Find machine washable Skechers at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear happens to be sold.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's Sam Bushman and Eldon Stahl together talking to Jay Valentine. And Jay Valentine is an expert with fractalweb.app if you want to learn about the technology. It's not only used for voter rolls, it's used for all kinds of new applications. It is incredible. Things that used to take hours literally can take seconds with their incredible new stack technology. That's another topic for another day. Applying it to voter rolls, though, fraud expert is Jay Valentine, and he's speaking out against election voter rolls and voter fraud. Why we need real-time voter roll monitoring is really the statement that we would make about this. And we're talking about identifying problems in voter rolls using fractal technology, ladies and gentlemen. America needs confidence in its voter rolls. To learn more, Omega, the number 4, America.com is where you can go learn about what they're doing there. Fractal delivers confidence through transparency is the point. Now, right before the break, Jay, you were kind of explaining a little bit more about, you know, how this works and what people do and where you're at on it and all this kind of stuff. Really, we're going to eventually get the public involved to the nth degree, right?
But we are. We're working with legislators in the states, but the legislators work with public voter integrity teams. And what they do is together, they use our technology to parse these voter rolls. And the power is we cross-compare voter rolls with other rolls. So we compare the voter rolls with the property tax records. We compare the voter rolls with the Federal Election Commission records. And when you do that, each of these databases in itself is an inexact database. They got anywhere from 5 to 30% of the data is incorrect. But when you cross-search them, you end up with triangulating your data, and you end up being able to get tremendous insight into what's on those voter rolls.
End of the day, how do we fix this? So let's say we point out a ton of problems and we get it. How do we fix it or make the changes? What does that in terms of, one, getting it fixed, and then, two, keeping up on it so that it's accurate going forward?
The world we live in right now is an online world. The world that the Secretary of State of every single state in America lives in is a 1980s batch world. So the way we fix this problem is really simple. We allow citizens, we allow voter integrity groups to have real-time access to the voter roll so that they can see. Every citizen in America can go in and look at the property tax records for every property in their state or even another state. They can look at all kinds of government records, but they can't see online their records of voters. But if they could, particularly using a technology like Fractal, every voter would be able to look at voter rolls. And all the stuff we're finding, it's not deep science. It's obvious. It's obvious. All you have to do is run that guy's address and see you've got 30 people voting from a Target store. That's obvious. And when you have the people crowdsourcing this data, this stuff's going to get cleaned in 90 days, and it's going to stay clean because you can't then go in and mess with voter rolls because the citizens will see it. That's why there's no such thing as fraud in property tax rolls, because everybody can see all the property tax rolls and what everybody's paying.
Right. Now, one of the big problems has been ERIC, this offline supposedly group that's going to make sure your voter rolls are accurate and everything else. We find them to be a stumbling block and a problem. Several states have discovered this reality and backed out of ERIC. But the reason that I bring it up is because when you turn your data over to a third party like ERIC, you lose that transparency. You lose FOIA requests and the ability with all the government laws to get transparency. You lose that with groups like ERIC. So people are running from ERIC because we find out they're not really cleaning up voter rolls. In fact, they're making them worse. Whether it's intentional or not is a debate for another day. But the fact is, what we're doing is wanting to pull that back to government instead of third party for transparency, and then use Fractal technology in partnership with government so that all the rules for transparency, FOIA requests, accountability, all apply, right?
Well, yeah. And if you go to the videos that we published last week, Minnesota has been using ERIC forever. They were one of the first ERIC users. Every single thing we show you in the video of Minnesota, the video is 47 minutes. Everything we show you, ERIC missed. The other video we have up there is Texas. Texas used ERIC through last year. But we don't just show you the current Texas voter roll. We show you the Texas voter roll in 2020 during the Trump-Biden election. And we're pulling out hundreds of things that were obviously fake. ERIC missed every single one of them because at the time of those voter rolls, Texas used ERIC. So in every state, we're showing you that ERIC is completely useless. ERIC doesn't find anything. The only thing they claim to find is if you vote in Utah and you move to California and you also vote in California, they claim they will find that, which I doubt. That's less than 0.5% of what's going on in voter rolls. 98%, which would happen to Kerry Lake, is people screwing with voter rolls during early voting. ERIC doesn't pick up any of that. People living in Walmarts and convenience stores and gas stations, ERIC doesn't pick up any of that. So ERIC is essentially a false narrative to make you feel like someone's cleaning voter rolls. But when we demonstrate those voter rolls, as we're going to show in Georgia the week after next, and wait till you see what we're showing in Georgia. In Georgia, the Secretary of State there, Brad Raffensperger, said that ERIC is absolutely wonderful. Well, when we show you what happened in Georgia in 2020, and it's going to be several videos because there's so much, we couldn't do it in one video. All of it was missed by ERIC.
All right, let me ask this because I think this is really important. There's a lot of lawsuits out there right now, Jay. Kerry Lake is one of the key people, Mike Lindell, many others. I don't want to get into the minutia of the different lawsuits, but here's my question. Are you able to come as a friend of the court or as a subpoenaed or whatever you want to call it, witness that can basically say, look, You know what? Carrie Lake claims there's voter roll problems. That's one of her claims. You know what? Here's the data to prove what she's saying, Your Honor. Is that partnership or is that going on?
We have been asked a number of times to be expert witnesses on this. So we got called into the John Eastman trial. But John Eastman is a Trump attorney living in California and or living, you know, registered in California as an attorney. And the California Bar Association is trying to kick him out right now. It's pretty well-known lawsuit. Well, they called me as an expert witness. And during the deposition, which was video, the person who is prosecuting Eastman said, well, was there voter fraud in 2020? I go, yeah, it was all over the place. He says, well, how do you know? I said, because I'm running the data for 25 or 26 states and I can see it. He said, well, how do you prove it? I said, I would just log on to my system and I would show you the tens of thousands of people who voted from fake addresses. So therefore, those are illegal votes, and it was more than enough to turn the election. They did everything they could to make sure I was not an expert witness, and they moved heaven and earth to get me out of there, which they did.
So you're telling me that they literally committed fraud on the court and you couldn't deliver the facts?
Well, they didn't commit fraud on the court. They said to the court that we do not want this guy as an expert witness, and they came up with, you know, some crazy legal argument.
But hold on, separate the witness from the facts, though. You maybe don't want this witness, but can some if Jay's a bad witness, can somebody else bring the data and show the facts? I don't want to talk about witnesses.
We're not lawyers. We don't get involved in that stuff. We're software guys. We run a software company. We're not activists. We don't screw around with that stuff. But your question was, do you get called in as expert witnesses? And we do. So we had to testify in Wisconsin about the Wisconsin voter ID numbering system, which has hidden characters in it that you can't see with modern computer systems, but we can see them. And so those hidden characters are in the Wisconsin voter ID system. And we discovered them and we testified in the Wisconsin legislature, I think two or three times. So yeah, we get called all the time for that stuff.
Anyway, I don't mean to turn you into a lawyer and make this controversial for you. My whole point is they run around in the media and in the courts and basically dismiss all these things and say we have zero evidence is my point. But the facts are staring them in the face. They're using legalese to prevent the facts from coming forward.
That's fine. Do all the legalese you want. We're putting out videos and people are seeing the videos. We're getting overwhelmed with email, with calls. I had three Washington, D.C. based organizations call us since we did the Minnesota video and say, what would it take for you to help us to use your technology to go after some of these voter rolls? So when people see our videos, you can't deny it. When we show you that the property tax record shows that this is a Walmart and the voter record shows you got three guys voting from there and the voter history record shows you they voted, you can't deny that. And so that's why we're putting out videos after video after video of every single one of the 26 states. And it'll probably grow to 30 or 40 states by the time we're done.
Amen. God bless you for your work. How can people help, Jay? Go ahead and skip the break.
Well, we're a software company, so we're not looking for volunteers. We don't take donations. The way people can help themselves is to go to their Secretary of State, to go to their legislators and say, hey, look, let these guys come in and let these guys do a voter roll audit and show you how bad your voter rolls are. Because one of two things is going to happen. Either you're going to invite these guys in and they're going to show you and you can fix them, or you're not going to invite them in and they're just going to do it anyway because it's public information and you're going to see it on our video sites. So one way or the other, this information's coming out.
I love it, sir. Is the best place for people to keep an eye on this omega4america.com?
It is. And no volunteers, and we're not looking for donations, but that's where we are, and we're working with states around the country who have seen the light, and we're moving forward with the fractal technology.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you have a relationship with your legislator, get a hold of them, see if they'll get a hold of Jay, because that's where we have kind of a confluence of solution here. The legislative bodies working with this IT company, working with transparency, then we the people back it and push for it. Pretty soon the media is forced to report on it, and now we're getting somewhere. This is all about solutions. Jay, your final thought.
Well, all we're trying to do is give people visibility to voter rolls and to FEC rolls and to other government rolls. And the more we do this, the more the narrative's going to change from there's no such thing as voter fraud to how are we going to clean the voter rolls.
Jay, thank you so much.
That's great.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. Jay Valentine doing a phenomenal job. OmegaForAmerica.com. Do you want to get a final word on this, Ellen? This is incredible, solutions-oriented. Look, we at the CSPOA promised we'd get into this election issue, and we're trying to cross the, you know, get people together. It seems like it's been kind of a dearth behind the scenes where you haven't heard much. We've been working on this forever. Now, we're not trying to take credit for it. We're just telling you we're working on it, and so are so many people. It's not even funny, and we're starting to, do I dare use the term hit pay dirt, Eldon?
Yeah, that's right. Well, it is encouraging because the people that don't want to dig into this, they always want to control the narrative, control the conversation or the discussion. And if we could get the discussion moving over to, well, how do we clean up our voter rolls? That would be a big improvement because so many of these legislators and others have their head in the sand and they're determined not to see anything, not to look for anything, or not to find anything.
All right, there you have it. There's just so much to this, it's just not even funny. It's hard to focus on it because David Clark working on it, he's a sheriff. He got this fractal people involved. Good for him. A huge shout out to him. You've got Catherine Engelbrecht, Greg Phillips, True the Vote working on it. You've got Mike Lindell. You've got the CSPOA. The John Birch Society has been working on this kind of stuff for a long time, too. There's going to be a confluence of solutions here. And, man, the synergism is starting to become incredible, Eldon.
Yeah, it is. It's good to see people stepping up because this is, yeah, of course, this didn't happen overnight. It's been a long train of little things that have added up to where we are today. But now people are alarmed enough that they're taking action.
All right, let's see. There's so much to talk about. It's hard to know even where to start, Eldon. I don't even know how to kind of respond to how much news is out there. It seems like every day when I look at the news, there's just more and more and more stuff where I'm like, man, I have got to like work on this, but I don't know how to like respond because there's just so much news. Let me give you an example. Headline says this: a report published by the Government Accountability Office, that's the GAO, Government Accountability Office, on Tuesday, so what, 2 days ago, found that government agencies incorrectly reported spending and at times did not report their expenditures. I don't even know how to respond to this exactly. So now we don't know what the expenditures are. Then how can they have a budget? And if they have a budget and they don't know where the money went, is it a budget? I don't mean to be stupid here. I'm just saying to you what is happening around here? And supposedly the Republicans have got a handle on this and MAGA Mike Johnson's going to fix it. And now they just, I don't know what you want to say, created a pass the buck or, you know, down the line again. And now we're finding out literally right when they agree to all this, shame on them for kicking the can down the road. But now they don't even know what they're spending money on. And they have no idea how much they spent. I'm only half stupid, Eldon, but I don't get it, sir.
Well, you know, back in 1958, when Robert Welch started the John Birch Society, he warned against this. He said that there would be efforts to spend money as wastefully as possible, to drive up the debt and the deficit as quickly as possible. And that would be part of the plan to undermine our country. And we're seeing that come to fruition.
I just look at this, and I'm just not even sure really how to respond to some of the stuff that I'm seeing and kind of hearing. I mean, this report by the accountability office. So here's my next question for the accountability office. Now that you discovered they have no clue what they're spending on, what does the accountability office do about it except for report and tell you they're scandalous? They don't have a clue. This is nuts. Accountability office, do they have the ability to create accountability there, Eldon?
Well, I guess they report on things, but ultimately it seems like Congress has to hold people accountable. If Congress doesn't care, and really if we don't care enough to tell our congressman, put pressure on them, then probably not much is going to happen there. So, it's good for people to know at least.
I agree, but Congress has said spend all the way, some programs through January 19th and some programs in February, and we promise we're going to work on it, and we kick the can down the road, and there you go. And which they've done over and over and over and over and over and over to the point where we're $32 trillion. Well, that's the number they claim, but how do they know that's right if they don't know what they spent?
Well, yeah, it's true. There's accountability or accounting, issues there as well. So it makes it difficult to hold people accountable, find out what actually happened. But in the end, we probably don't like to admit it, but most people in the United States are not wanting to greatly or significantly decrease the spending at the federal level. If they were, they would be not chomping at the bit trying to get every grant and every federal program and every an increase to every entitlement and all that. Once that changes, though, then we'll see actual reduction. But until then, what the people demand is someone to talk fiscally conservative while bringing home the bacon. That's the harsh reality that we have to face and change.
Now, they say that the national interest, U.S. debt interest now tops $1 trillion a year. That's according to Bloomberg. How do we deal with this?
Well, we get back to the Constitution. And what it actually says. Ooh, the Constitution that has been, you know, somehow in the minds of progressive revolutionaries amended informally millions of times by something outside of Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution, but what the Constitution actually says and means, the pocket Constitution. If we understand that and insist that it be followed, 80% of what the federal government does roughly would be eliminated, phased out, all of those things, and we would see a large, we're talking trillions of dollars in surplus every year. It wouldn't take too long to pay down the debt.
U.S.
pay off the interest, all
debt
that.
Interest bill tops $1 trillion a year. So unless something changes drastically, that number is just going to continue to skyrocket.
Yeah. It's kind of like the person that, you know, you say, oh, you have a major cash flow spending debt problem. Well, if they don't, yes, the problem is the debt, but that's in a sense a symptom. The real problem is their thinking, their process. If they go on thinking still that, you know, you can without limit live off your credit card without consequence, then that problem is not going to go away. So it's got to be a change in thinking. Same thing goes for the people or a government. If that doesn't change, then, if they're not going to say, well, we will not spend money on XYZ, then they'll spend money on anything they want. And so there has to be some sort of idea that there are limits, that there is some things that we should not spend money on, whether it's in government or the people, whatever.
All right, now listen to this. The departments of Treasury, Health and Human Services, HHS, if you will, Homeland Security, DHS, and Transportation, that's the Department of Transportation, or DOT, were all flagged by the GAO for having multi-billion dollar discrepancies across different public COVID-19 spending disclosures during the 2022 fiscal year. So we're talking about multiple agencies, billions of dollars per agency, 25 executive agencies were included among the over 49 agencies that have this problem. I don't even know how to respond to this. And Congress goes, yeah, let's go ahead and kick the can down. Let's take off for Thanksgiving and Christmas. What are these clowns doing? And supposedly we have MAGA Mike at the helm that's going to change the world and be the good guy for us. I think he absolutely failed. Now, I'm not here to attack Mike. Congress failed. We the people failed. When are we going to start to say this is unacceptable and we demand a solution? I provided a solution and nobody pays attention. Vivek Ramaswamy highlights the same principle. In business, you start with what's called a zero-based budget. And you say, look, we're not going to spend a penny. Now, every budget line item is going to come through one at a time. And in America, we're going to discuss the constitutionality of it. If it's constitutional, then we're going to say, okay, is it the right amount that needs to be spent or is there waste? And then we pass only constitutional line items. If there's a line item that's not constitutional, but we can't crash the plane, then we got to have, here's the line item. We'll fund it with a sunset and or a plan for elimination. Okay, this is real easy to do if we demand it, Eldon. But I don't see any change at all.
Well, I give you a reason for hope here, okay? Now, one of the big reasons that we see people not wanting to reduce government spending is because we send our kids, by and large, to the government schools. Is the government going to tell you and teach you that the government is doing things that are not authorized, that should be reduced? Probably not. But we have seen a massive, I would say, two or three times increase in homeschooling lately. People are saying enough is enough. Get our kids out of these schools. And that's really, I think, a big factor in there. Once this grows to a critical mass, we're going to have people saying, you know what? Not only do we not need, but we don't want, and we should not have all this big government. We need to scale it back, and they'll have the votes to do it.
Amen. That's what we have to get done, ladies and gentlemen. Before the end of the hour, I have one more headline I want to highlight and Eldon to respond to. Here's the headline. Customers at major U.S. banks hit with deposit delays. This ain't looking good, Eldon. That's a horrible precedent, sir.
They're hit with deposit. I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch.
With deposit delays. So you put money in the bank.
Delayed.
Hey, they're not going to recognize it there for a while, you know.
Okay, well, yeah, that's kind of like you were getting into the Argentina territory where the bank just says, well, we have your money, but you can't have it. And the people are pretty upset.
Yeah, I know we took your money and we gave you a deposit slip, but it ain't in your account. You can't use the money. We're working on it, we promise. They claim it was a little glitch. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Glitch or not, it's my money. You better have your act together. Where's the accountability for that? I hope this doesn't spell trouble. But when I see big banks laying people off left and right, it adds fuel to that concern and fire. That's for sure. Eldon Stahl, thank you so much, sir. God bless you and JBS.org.
Oh, thank you, Sam. It's always great to be on.
The John Birch Society, ladies and gentlemen, The New American. Check it out. The New American, great magazine. I'm Sam Bushman, lovingliberty.net. God save the Republic of the United States of America.